This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today's show is really dedicated to the ladies. We're going to be covering two topics. During the first half of the show, Dr. Richard Santin will be on talking about a possible way of achieving all the benefits from hormone replacement therapy without most of the side effects and risks. Later in the show, Dr. Daniel Beavers will come on and talk about what really happens when women yo-yo diet that affects their cardiometabolic risk factors. So let's get right to the subject at hand. My first guest is Dr. Richard Santin. He's with Division of Endocrinology, Department of Medicine at the University of Virginia Health System. How you doing, Dr. Santin?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay. Briefly, let's first discuss the design of the study, and then we'll get into what this may translate to women out there who are thinking about hormone replacement therapy.
Sure. Let me give you a little background to start with. So up until about 10 years ago, most women took hormone therapy when they went through the menopause. They took it to block hot flashes and to relieve other symptoms. But the problem was that a very large study showed that women that took hormone therapy had an increased risk of heart disease and an increased risk of breast cancer. But it turned out that these risks were predominantly in older women, and that the factor that seemed to be detrimental to causing these effects was progesterone or the progestin component of the hormone therapy. So what we're trying to do in this study is to design ways of giving hormone therapy to younger women with something that doesn't contain a progesterone or progestin, which we hope then will improve the benefits of these therapies and really markedly reduce the risks that are associated with them.
Now isn't it but also promoted within predominantly in the more advanced anti-aging community that unopposed estrogen is where the risks increase. So you're saying that it's actually the progestins that have some of the side effects when given in a combination therapy.
Right. So the data from the Women's Health Initiative study, which is a huge study, which has been was initially published 10 years ago, if you gave estrogen alone, there was no increased risk of breast cancer. If you gave estrogen plus a progestin, there was about a 26% increased risk of breast cancer. So that's really the breast cancer part of this. You're quite correct that unopposed estrogen will cause cancer of the womb or the endometrium. And so people have been concerned about giving estrogen alone.
But
so where do we go with this?
We can't give
estrogen alone, and we would like to develop something that would relieve symptoms, do what we want it to do, but would not contain a progestin.
Now let's talk about your research. So, first of all, what pointed you in the direction of this this very, very interesting approach of a tissue a selective estrogen complex, which is yet a degree even deeper in selectivity as opposed to a selective estrogen receptor modulator, for instance?
Right. So the selective estrogen receptor modulator, or SERMs, These are drugs which cause estrogen effects on some tissues and block estrogen effects on other tissues. Now, the problem with the SERMs is that they don't do precisely what we'd like them to do. For instance, the SERMs do help with bone density, but they actually markedly increase hot flashes. So they have some good effects on some tissues and hot flashes and so on, harmful effects
right.
on others.
Right.
So when people began to study SERMs, what was recognized is this selective estrogen receptor modulator, or SERM, it basically bound to the estrogen receptor. Now, when you think about it, the estrogen receptor is like the lock in a door, and the estrogen or the SERM is like the key.
Right.
So you need the receptor, the lock, you need the key, the SERM, and when you do that and they interact together, you get an effect. What we've realized now is that, in fact, just like when you live in New York City, you need two locks on your door. You now need two keys, and you need both of those keys interacting in the two locks to have the effects that you want. So this tissue-selective estrogen complex is the combination of a SERM plus an estrogen.
Interesting. Interesting.
Now, that sounds totally paradoxical. But on the other hand, if you look at it very, very carefully, since the SERM binds to one lock and the estrogen binds to another lock, you actually get an effect which is can be completely different
right.
than the SERM alone or the estrogen alone. And that's really the basis of this concept.
So describe the study. This was a rodent model study, correct?
I'm going to go through the clinical studies first.
Please.
So there have been 5,000 women now studied with this combination. The SERM is called basidoxifene. I'll call it BZA. And the estrogen is actually Premarin, which has been around for a long time. Premarin is conjugated equine estrogen. It's basically estrogen that's been purified from horse urine. But it's been around for quite a long time. So the study basically was to compare a sugar pill, a placebo, with a combination of BZA, the SERM, and Premarin, or the conjugated equine estrogen. And except for the breast, the study showed that almost everything you'd like to happen did. So in these 5,000 women, placebo-controlled trials, there was a 85% reduction in hot flashes. There was a marked improvement in atrophy of the vagina. So women no longer had pain on intercourse. And if you look particularly at the vaginal tissues, they were stimulated by this combination. It helped the cholesterol, didn't cause breast pain. Patients slept better. Caused lack of menstrual periods in 93% of the women treated, so women didn't have to worry about recurrent bleeding. Sometimes it's a problem with
right.
hormone therapy. There was no endometrial cancer, and there was no increased stimulation or increased growth or hyperplasia of the endometrium. And then additional things, it actually improved bone density, didn't affect diabetes, and didn't increase blood clots in the legs and the lungs.
Now, that's really critical, obviously. But some of that thrombotic changes are really, as a result, not so much from the estrogen as it is from the preparation, if you will, that the estrogen is bound in, the vehicle, the esterified hormones. They change the liver landscape, do they not?
Right. So if you give estrogen on the skin, so it doesn't go to the liver first, you markedly reduce the effects of estrogen on clotting and on deep venous thrombosis or pulmonary emboli and so on. So it's really the root is if you give it orally, it can have an effect. If you put it on the skin, it generally doesn't.
But this approach even mitigated those potential effects even in the orally administered, correct?
It did. It was surprising.
That's really, that's why I wanted to point that out. That's really amazing.
So the question is, after all of that data, and there are probably 10 different studies now, and the drug is actually currently in the approval process in Europe, so it'll probably be available for patients pretty quickly. So the question is, why did we need new studies? So we needed new studies because if you had this TSEC, or tissue selective estrogen complex, and it actually also prevented breast cancer, now we've got something that you might consider dynamite.
Yeah.
You have a drug that does everything that you want and has very few harmful effects.
I mean, this really takes the brakes off of doctors. Once, obviously, there's more research that needs to be done. And there is obviously, you know, dosing and some long-term studies, I would imagine, are in the works. But I think that this then takes the brakes off of some clinicians' hesitancy to prescribe hormone therapies for their female clients because they feel that the risks outweigh the rewards. I want to take a quick commercial break. I've got lots more questions. We're talking this hour with Dr. Richard Santin at the University of Virginia about their research on a novel approach to applying hormone therapy that eliminates many, if not all, of the risks associated with hormone therapy for women. This is a very exciting day for women out there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go. But nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing.
Welcome back.
It's called...
We're talking with Dr. Richard Santin, Division of Endocrinology at the University of Virginia Health System, about a novel approach to applying hormone replacement therapy for women that actually may mitigate many of the negative side effects associated with hormone replacement therapy. One of the reasons that a lot of women will turn away from HRT or their physicians will recommend they turn away from HRT may actually go away with this new approach. I think it's a really exciting day, Dr. Santin. Okay, now for those in the audience who are saying, look, I purposely don't take Premarin and Prempro because I don't like those particular hormones, I go to a compounding pharmacist. I have a pellet from Soto Pele, or I am rubbing the cream on my arms. You did research with just frank administration of estradiol as well, correct?
Right. So the when you look at this combination of the SERM and estradiol and compare it with the SERM plus Premarin or conjugated equine estrogen, they actually work differently. So you have to ask which is better. And the reason that we did our studies were really to compare the two. And we found them to be very different on some endpoints that we looked at. These were mostly genes that were turned on by estrogen or conjugated equine estrogen. But let's get back to why we wanted to do this. If you can give hormone therapy and prevent breast cancer at the same time, this is what really would be beneficial.
Yeah.
Women don't take hormone therapy because they're concerned about breast cancer.
Right.
They have family members, they have friends with breast cancer, and they don't want to have any increased risk of breast cancer when they take hormones after they've gone through the menopause. So the background of this for us was, we know, for instance, that if a woman has her menstrual period starting very early when she's young, she has an increased risk of breast cancer. Or if she has her babies late, she has an increased risk of breast cancer. So how could you give something, a hormone or an anti-hormone, to a menopausal woman and expect that that's going to prevent breast cancer?
Right.
So that led us to try to figure out what was really happening when women got estrogen plus progesterone. And what we came up with is, based on studies when women die of other causes, 7% of women between the ages of 40 and 80 actually have a breast cancer that's not diagnosed.
Hmm.
It grows very, very slowly. So from the start of the cancer to the time that it's diagnosed takes an average of 17 years. In other words, when you go from one cancer cell to a cancer cell that's big enough to be seen on a mammogram or to be felt, it takes about 17 years.
Mm.
So what we wanted to do was to use an agent that would prevent those small cancers that were never diagnosed from growing and ever causing a problem with the patient. And that's really the hypothesis or the theory that our studies were based on. In other words, we're not actually preventing breast cancer. We're treating that small breast cancer that is not yet diagnosed with a very effective agent before it ever can be seen or before the woman ever knows that she has it.
Interesting.
So how do we do that? So basically what we do is that we take, in our animal model systems, we take a human breast cancer and we isolate the cells from that. We implant a very small number of cells into a mouse that doesn't have an immune system. That's called a xenograft model. And the cancer cells basically grow and form tumors in that model. So if we would use this combination of a SERM and an estrogen in that model where the tumor cells are so small, there's such a small number of cells that it would really mimic what are happening in this 7% of women who already have breast cancer, then we can see whether we can prevent breast cancer developing in this animal model. So that's basically what we did. The findings were that if we gave, as you said before, standard estrogen, estradiol, which could be given by patch or by cream or whatever,
right,
if we gave that plus the SERM, we would completely block the growth of tumor cells in these nude mice.
Wow.
So then they never could grow big enough to be seen. If we did this with Premarin or conjugated equine estrogen and the SERM BZA, we also completely blocked the
growth of these tumor cells.
Yeah, but the very interesting thing that we found, and nobody else has really focused on this before, in this model, estrogen alone causes these tumor cells to grow. The Premarin didn't cause the tumor cells to grow.
Hmm.
And we don't understand that. And we gave 30 and 50-fold higher doses of Premarin than we would usually use in this situation, and that alone didn't cause these tumor cells to grow. So it looks to us as if it's going to be much more likely that the combination of the CIRM plus Premarin will be more beneficial than the combination of crystalline estrogen,
mm-hmm.
natural estrogen,
right.
plus the CIRM.
Very interesting.
So
where,
how did we...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. So
I just wanted to inject something here for a second. Is it possible that this is related to the homogeneity of the actual hormone itself, in that these equine estrogens perhaps stimulate some of the effects of estrogen, but not all of them? And when you're using this frank form of crystalline estrogen, you're really getting the same kind of estrogen that is present in the human body.
Yeah, so that's basically what we looked at. So how do you tell the difference in effect of this combination of multiple estrogens? That's what Premarin is. It's got 200 different substances in it. And each of those substances can do something slightly different. Estradiol itself is one substance and will do its thing. So what we do is that we look at the induction of estrogen-related genes in the tumor tissue itself. And we do this with fancy what's called cDNA array expression technology. But it just basically is a way of looking to see which things are turned on and which things are turned off. And the profile that we see with the conjugated equine estrogen is very different than the one we see with estrogen itself. And it does seem as if estrogen itself is probably much more potent
mm-hmm.
as an estrogen than is this combination.
Interesting. Where does metabolic disorder play into this? We know that women who are at risk of metabolic disorders, they're already pre-diabetic and perhaps presenting some other issues, do not necessarily see the benefits from hormone replacement therapy, or at least it does not have a prophylactic effect, and quite often can actually instigate some problems. Do you think that in the already metabolically deranged person that your approach would have a better outcome?
So that I can't answer. The studies that have been done in these 5,000 women, you know, they're generally healthy women that are started on the combination. And this is really the place to look at the signal. So the first thing is that there was no worsening of insulin resistance, no increase in risk of diabetes, no increase in blood sugar, no weight gain. So in this group of normal women, it looks as if this is pretty safe in terms of causing metabolic derangements. It doesn't do that.
Right.
It does lower the level of cholesterol, and particularly it lowers the level of good cholesterol.
Yeah.
So this should be beneficial, too, in terms of these overall metabolic effects. But, you know, in time, somebody's going to have to study women with prediabetes or with metabolic syndrome to know whether they respond a little bit differently
mm-hmm.
than other women would do, but we wouldn't expect that would be the case.
Yeah, interesting. How long do you think before we will see this therapy being available to women through their local physicians?
Yeah, you know, that all depends on the Food and Drug Administration. What I'm told, and I have to let the audience know that I'm on the advisory board of Pfizer that makes this drug. Pfizer funds our studies, and so I have an ear to what's actually happening. The drug is in the approval process in Europe right now. So if it's approved in Europe, women will be able to get this from their primary care physicians probably within 12 months.
Huh.
It may take longer, but it's on the fast track to approval. I'm told that it's going to be submitted to the Food and Drug Administration in the United States sometime within the next 6 months.
And they're already doing this in Europe. Is that right?
It's already in the approval process.
In Europe. Okay.
So you have to submit it to the government. The government says, yes, we can do it.
Right.
And it's common market-wide at this point. So the first place it will be used and be prescribed by the physicians, if it's approved in Europe, will be in Europe.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
So the other aspects of our study, you would like to know that this could be given over a pretty long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The studies that have been done so far in patients have only been 2 to 4 years. It's a pretty long time, but so for that reason, we wanted to know whether this combination might in fact directly prevent breast cancer also. In other words, we think the major effect is preventing these small occult tumors from growing. Therefore, the patients don't get a diagnosis of breast cancer. But we wanted to see what this did to the normal breast itself. So that was the second part of our studies in mice. And what we did was to ask the question, when these mice go through what's the equivalent of puberty in women, in mm-hmm. other words, 14 to 18 when they get breast development, this is a combination of an estrogen plus a SERM. Under those circumstances, does that cause an increase in breast development, a decrease in breast development? No effect whatsoever. And so we basically looked at young mice and looked at the breast as it was developing. The way we do that basically is we do a biopsy and we look to see whether the breast duct and the part of the breast called terminal duct end bud, that's the part of the breast that usually develops cancer, to see what happens with that. And quite interestingly, the combination of the estrogen plus the SERM completely prevented the breast from developing in these young animals.
The breast cancer?
No, normal breast.
Oh, really? Completely? Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And it blocked both the, now the Premarin under these circumstances did actually have an estrogen effect on the normal breast. Didn't seem to on breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
And so the effects of estradiol, which is the main estrogen, plus the SERM, BZA, we basically saw no development of these terminal duct lobular units, the part that would develop breast cancer later, or
right.
even the ducts in the breast. So that tells us that not only does this agent prevent the growth of pre-existing small breast cancers, but it also is doing something on the breast, which could, in fact, over the long run, prevent breast cancer itself.
Right. Very interesting.
All of that is positive. So where do we come down with this? I'm a physician that takes care of patients who have menopause. And what I've seen over the last 10 years is that women are afraid of hormone therapy. Their doctors are afraid of hormone therapy. And what happens is that the women suffer.
Right.
So I've got a woman who's a CEO of a moderately sized company. And when she goes and has a board meeting and starts to have a hot flash in front of 10 men, she's crashed the glass ceiling, and she has a hot flash in front of these individuals, that doesn't work very well. It's very embarrassing for her.
Right.
And so if we have an agent, which we did, to treat her hot flashes, very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Another example, somebody I treated just recently who's a nurse in the operating room. Mind you, you've got a mask on your face and you're gowned and gloved. And if all of a sudden you have hot flash and start sweating and
right.
dripping all over everything.
And anxiety usually accompanies that.
Anxiety as well. And then the final thing is when I talk to my patients, they wake up when they have hot flashes at night. So sort of imagine this. You wake up hot. You throw all the covers off. You go back to sleep.
And then you wake up freezing. Yeah, I know.
Then you wake up freezing, right. And then you go back to sleep, and then you have a hot flash.
And then the sleep part of it is your sleep is destroyed when you're going through menopause. There's no doubt about it.
And so what happens then is that you don't get a good night's sleep.
Right.
So now you get depressed. And you're also tired when you wake up the next morning. And, you know, you're not very functional. So really what we're talking about now, in terms of hormone therapy, and particularly this combination, somebody just going through the menopause, we have something that's safe that will prevent these symptoms.
Yeah, no, this is very, very exciting day. This really is. I'm very excited about this. Dr. Santin, we've come to the end of the interview, unfortunately, and there's so much more we could talk about. I want to thank you for making time to come on Superhuman Radio and talk about this, and I'm sure that the women in the audience will be talking to their physicians about BZA, hopefully, and tissue-specific therapies like this. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. Right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Daniel Beavers from Wake Forest School of Medicine on to talk about the real cardiometabolic risks of yo-yo dieting. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
First time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntoBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntoBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntoBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advanced or Gage Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-Hour Delivery Multivitamin Patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce Multivitamin Patch banner ad today. You already know about Titan Organics Virgin Coconut Oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
This is strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is Dr. Daniel Beavers. He's with the Department of Biostatistical Science at Wake Forest School of Medicine. How you doing, Dr. Beavers?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. And we're going to talk about a very important subject that we talked about before, but some of these things have to be spoken about over and over again because many of us forget. We get caught up in the day-to-day affairs of life, and these are things that have to be mentioned over and over again, and that is you know, what happens when you lose weight for that wedding? We're talking about women now, or to go to the beach at spring break with the family. And so you become very aggressive in your weight loss approach. And then after you come out the other end, you kind of go back to hell in a handbasket and you put that weight back on. Is there a pronounced increase in cardiometabolic risk factors? So your group did a study on this, correct?
That's right. We looked at, so when you say cardiometabolic risk factors, obviously we're talking about both the cardiovascular risk, like heart disease, heart attacks, things along those lines, the risk factors associated with that, as well as for potentially developing type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
With our study, we had a group of women who underwent a 5-month weight loss period, and after their weight loss period, at the conclusion of the study, they were given some basic advice on how to go home and maintain some of these losses. But otherwise, we didn't really contact them until 6 and then 12 months after this weight loss phase to see how they were doing.
Now, what was the average weight loss of these women in that 5-month period?
Over the 5-month period, the women on average lost about 25 pounds.
That's pretty significant.
Sure. It was pretty successful in terms of, especially given it was only 5 months. It was a really successful and, I think, a good motivated crowd to try to get a lot of the weight off.
Well, I also have to say, you know, we've done so many shows on the effects of dieting, and the importance of repartitioning, losing fat, not muscle. And 5 pounds a month is really, in real world statistics, not the BS statistics that you see on some of these commercials, for weight loss products. 5 pounds a month is a pretty aggressive amount of weight to lose every single month, consistently, continuously.
It sure is, and we, you know, it was under very controlled supervision. These people weren't, you know, running off with their Hollywood diets and you know, doing whatever they wanted to do. They were having a controlled feeding, you know, with the target of 1 to 2 pounds per week, which is considered to be relatively safe. It was just over the sustained 5-month period.
Right.
And then we also introduced the original study over the 5 months was also to introduce some exercise. Whether high and moderate intensity exercise has any implications in the body composition as they lose the
weight.
Well,
and we want to talk about that because I was going to ask you, was there an exercise component played into this? So let's deviate just for a second and talk about what were the groups, how were they broken up, and what type of exercises constituted, you know, moderate intensity and high intensity?
Okay. So, yeah, we started out with 112 women between ages 50 and 70. So again, well within the postmenopausal range, the average age was right about 59 years old. And so they were randomized then to either just a restricted caloric diet. Actually all three groups had the restricted caloric diet. Then, one of them just had the diet. Then the other two groups had, the exercise component. One of the groups had aerobic exercise on a treadmill at a moderate intensity. And then the more intensive group had a higher intensity aerobic exercise. So we weren't doing weight training or anything along those lines. It was more the cardiovascular exercise to try to see how that will play out with the body composition changes during weight loss.
But I mean, with the high intensity group, were they doing like interval training, sprinting and then walking and then sprinting and walking, or was it just more aggressive, you know, higher incline, faster pace?
Yeah, the latter there. We basically took them up to, so their VO2 max, the measure of their physical fitness, essentially took them up to about 70% of their VO2 max for the high-intensity
weight.
So
this is still not considered heroically, you know, heroic effort. This is still real-world possible.
Right. This is not science lab type of unattainable in the real world. This
right.
is actually achievable for people who are properly motivated, and it was also nice that they had a fairly controlled setting so that we could try to observe these effects. And I'll mention also as far as the restricted caloric diet, on average it was about 400 calories restriction per day. So we determined their sort of baseline metabolic activity and bumped them down about 400 calories from what they would normally need.
Was there any recommendations to protein intake portion of that diet?
Not the protein. I might look that up. The 0.8 grams of
protein
per kilogram
per kilo
day.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's doable. That's easy to do.
And that's, I would say that the suggestions that were given to these women were roughly in line with you know, most, weight loss regimen.
Right. Okay. What did you use DEXA or anything to look at their body compositions to assess whether there was a repartitioning effect that was occurring in the high intensity versus the low intensity group?
Right. We did use DEXA, and that was the primary aim of the original trial, over the original 5 month trial. And the interesting thing was there wasn't really a significant difference in the body composition, because that sort of came into play in our considerations for the follow-up study, because we were interested that maybe in the follow-up study we're seeing some changes that are being affected by potential differences in the way people lost weight. But the interesting thing was that people lost weight about the same across the various groups, which I think was maybe a little bit surprising, but it led to sort of a null conclusion for the main.
I have to be honest, I'm not surprised, because those two different modalities of cardiovascular training really don't differ very much in the messengers that they send to the body as far as upregulating skeletal muscle and bone density, and mm-hmm. And then also substrate utilization. I mean, had you done a high intensity where they sprinted for 30 seconds all out and then walked for 4 minutes, I think you would have seen a change in that signaling. And I think that if you would have added resistance training to it, it would have been a game changer instead. But that's okay, because the majority of women out there still don't get the notion that strength is equally important to them. So they usually turn to, you know, Zumba and cardio type, training modalities that they feel are more inclined for women. And so this is still good news, because again, if you bump this in a different direction, I have a feeling that the results would be even more dramatic. Okay. So they lost about 5 pounds per month continuously, which in my humble opinion is a win by itself. Was there a noticeable or what could be considered statistically significant amount of muscle loss in either groups or both groups?
Well, there was muscle loss. Actually, one of the primary analyses that sort of preceded this one that we're discussing today was to find that there was both muscle and fat loss during the weight loss phase. About one-fourth of the weight that was lost was muscle mass. So given a sort of 3-to-1 fat to muscle ratio in the loss phase was, you know, certainly
that's
an item of concern.
That's really good, and I'll tell you why. Just to use a popular diet to compare it to. Many women go on these very aggressive 600-calorie-a-day, and you and I talked about this off the air, HCG diets, where they lose between 50 and 60% muscle in their overall weight loss. So losing about a quarter in muscle and three quarters in fat, to me, sounds like a win.
Yeah, and these are also postmenopausal women, and so obviously the loss of muscle mass, you know, in these, as people get older, it sometimes there's evidence that it's hard to accumulate muscle mass. However, people don't have a whole lot of difficulty gaining fat mass at that age. And one of the earlier studies found then that during this this post follow up phase, that there was more fat accumulated than muscle. At a higher proportion than the losses.
Now, what kind of markers did you look at beforehand? I'm sure you drew blood, and what did you look at?
Well, okay, so at the beginning of the study, the biomarkers essentially that we looked at, we drew blood and looked at the lipid levels, so LDL cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, triglycerides. We also looked at some markers of insulin, so insulin resistance, blood glucose. We also had it's called the homeostatic model of insulin resistance, which is a sort of a derived variable that combines insulin and the blood glucose portions. Because we were interested mainly in their lipid profile for the cardiovascular risk,
right,
as well as their diabetic insulin profile.
No inflammatory markers looked at? Homocysteine, C-reactive protein, any of those?
Right, not for this study.
Okay. All right, and then any growth factors looked at all, IGF-1 or any of the other growth factors that could play a role, FGF, fibroblast growth factor, blah, 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 any of that stuff?
Right. No, not for this study.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to discover what you discovered once these women were left on their own to maintain their newfound body weight, how well they did, and how their cardiometabolic risk factors change. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Beavers, Department of Biostatistical Science at Wake Forest School of Medicine. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You can ride all day long.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. Kinetic Cream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetic Cream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Beavers from Wake Forest School of Medicine. Okay, so Dr. Beavers, when these women went back home and you checked in on them at the 6 month and 12 month point, what did you find?
Well, in particular, at the 12 month point, and this happened at 6 months as well, we found that, as you might expect, some women were able to maintain their weight losses, and other women had regained portions of that weight. And so what, as I mentioned, we collected a few markers of cardiovascular risk and diabetes risk at baseline, so we just sort of wanted to check in to see how these markers were doing then at this follow-up time period as well. In particular, we were interested in the question of how do the women who regained some weight, not saying all of their weight, but even just some of their weight, how do these women compare to the women who were able to maintain their weight losses? And I'll mention that some of the women who maintained their weight losses actually continued losing weight, whereas the women who gained some weight, we used our dividing line as about 4.5 pounds or 2 kilograms to determine whether or not if they gained more than those 4.5 pounds, then they were considered regainers. So that means doesn't mean they were all the way back at their baseline weight. It just means that they came back up from that low point after the 5 month period.
Right.
And what we found were some fairly dramatic differences between the women who maintained their weight losses and those who regained.
Even that small amount of weight regained.
Right. And I think that was maybe what was pretty surprising to us as well, was that it was a fairly small amount of regain. Obviously, day to day, we fluctuate our weight some amount. So we wanted to get a number that was relatively big enough that we would be able to say, okay, these women probably are not just day to day fluctuation. These are women who regain some amount of the weight loss, their weight after the loss period. And what we found were that, in particular, things like the blood lipids, so LDL cholesterol, triglycerides, were pretty significantly elevated. Another one was that elevated over what they were at the end of the weight loss period.
Right.
Yep.
But were they as high as they were at baseline?
So with the lipids, it depends on which ones we're talking about. The triglycerides were still slightly lower than they were at baseline.
Okay.
And it also depends on, you know, how you look at the data. When we do our model adjustments, so our statistical model, what we ended up showing was that at this 12 months after the conclusion of the weight loss phase, some of the markers were actually higher than they were at baseline. Mm-hmm. One in particular was the total cholesterol, and as well as LDL cholesterol. And obviously those two things are to a large extent kind of the same thing.
Right.
But the total cholesterol level had bumped up once we did our model adjustment, comparing that to the baseline value.
That's really interesting.
The other thing too then were the markers of diabetes, insulin, and I mentioned this HOMA, this measure of insulin resistance. Those had also increased quite a bit as well. In both cases, when we do our statistical adjustments, they were also higher than baseline. But what I think is important to state here is that we're not saying that losing weight should be avoided. The really important thing we're trying to make is that it's just as important to work hard to maintain those weight losses as it is to actually go about losing the weight.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Were there any lifestyle questionnaires given to these women? I'm just curious. The ones that took what you taught them and quote unquote ran with the ball, who continued to lose some weight, versus the women who took what you taught them and maybe integrated a small amount of it in, but for whatever reason started to regain weight, which clearly has to have something to do with their lifestyle, because they were able to lose the weight under the program, but then when left to their own accord, things change. Were you able to assess any noticeable differences between those women in how they approached their lifestyle or what they did or did differently?
Right. We did some basic comparisons about the women that we would describe as being maintainers compared to the regainers. We didn't really have a lot of information about their lifestyles, but I will mention that during the weight loss phase, it was a controlled feeding study. So this might be one of the benefits that these women had that maybe people in the real world don't have, is that they were actually being fed their meals through Wake Forest Baptist Health and Medical Center here. So these women were basically removed from these sort of lifestyle influences. And then following the end of the weight loss phase, we're basically back to eat whatever they wanted to.
At home, right, right.
Yeah.
Can you give me an idea, just a snapshot, of what the diet was that they received when under the control setting. Like, for instance, were there certain foods or food groups that were eliminated entirely, or was it the ADA approach, you know, to...
It was the ADA approach.
Yeah, interesting.
So there wasn't any sort of food group restriction per se, other than to, you know, the typical ADA recommendations.
Did the women who were regainers kind of offer any kind of excuse that would shed light into why they may regain? Like, once they were home, the kids were, you know, and life was so you know, preoccupying that they weren't getting enough sleep, or they weren't exercising every day like they were, or they were binge eating or stress eating. Did any of the women, because a lot of times when those things happen, someone will say something, well, you know, my husband lost his job last week and I've been just stress eating. Would anybody say any of those kind of things?
You know, that's a really great question, and that's actually one of the things we really need to explore out of this data set, as well as other weight loss data sets, because I think that even just our findings here, that the regaining even a small portion of the amount that was lost is associated with these increases in cardiometabolic risk. That was a pretty novel thing to discover in this population. And what we really need to determine now is exactly what you're describing, is who are these folks that are at risk for regaining, and what characteristics make them differ from the women who are able to maintain their losses.
Right.
We don't have that information, you know, right now. But what we need to do is approach this in terms of what are the barriers to maintaining weight losses and what can we modify? Because what we've seen in this population here is obviously that regain can be, you know, a substantial, you know, knock against a person's health. And in order to preserve these losses, we see it's possible. We see that the maintainers were able to maintain the amount of weight that they lost, and they as well as maintain those benefits with regard to their cardiometabolic risk profile. The women who regain their weight are the ones that we as researchers need to develop better strategies to help maintain weight losses, to not say, hey, we helped you lose 25 pounds, good luck with your life, but help them preserve those losses.
Was there any evidence that the regainers and their associated metabolic risk factors, when you saw them at 6 months and 12 months, was there any evidence that these higher than original, the ones that were higher than original metabolic risk factors, that they would somehow stabilize over time, because maybe they were just seeing some sort of metabolic rebound effect from losing the weight and now putting it back on again? Or can we extrapolate out and say that once you've lost a significant amount of weight and then you start to regain it, your risk for increasing the quote-unquote, you know, for lack of better terms, dose of metabolic risk factors is going to increase from that point on? You know what I'm saying?
That was we sort of toyed around. We couldn't really answer that question, but that's one of the possible explanations for what's going on. Because if you think about this is over 12 months. A lot of these women were gaining, you know, in 8 kilograms, which is over a normal human lifespan. Probably you aren't. It's going to be difficult to gain that much weight unless you're intentionally trying to do it.
Right.
Whereas we think that there could be a relationship between these increases in these cardiometabolic risk factors and the sort of accelerated weight right. regain that occurs after weight loss. And so our concern, we think that there could potentially be a relationship. We don't know. We can't really answer that with this study. But there could be a relationship then between this being in this depleted caloric state for this long period of time, and then your body just craving the calories, and that being the reason for this acceleration. And I think that hopefully there would be some type of plateau as opposed to this, you know, rapid growth that we observed.
Well, it makes perfect sense. If you look at things from an evolutionary perspective, so the body feels like it's, you know, the body's perception of famine and not having access to food, that is that is caused by the dieting and exercise. The body doesn't care that it's overweight to begin with. All it knows is it's not getting enough to feed the body. And so it goes into this kind of metabolic shock period of time, which even affects people's ability to plateau and not lose weight after a certain point in time. And so it would stand to reason that then all of a sudden in the face of abundance, the body goes, oh man, we don't know how long this is going to last. So we really have to ramp up all those things we do with food for the partitioning effect to produce as much body fat as possible, because we may hit another famine at some point in time. I suspect that those women, if you checked in with them 2 years later, that while they may continue to regain weight, which I bet they will, the regainers, the overall effects may not be as dramatic as far as the risk factors increased that you saw initially, because I suspect that there was some sort of a rebound effect taking place there.
I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to assume. I think that, you know, we saw these slight increases in the women who regained some amount of weight. Now, these women only had regained about 70% of the amount of weight that they had lost, but some of their risk factor profiles were right back at baseline. So these risk factors had really rebounded faster than the weight had.
Right.
But it could be exactly what you're describing is this intensive adaptation to the weight loss effect that, you know, maybe once they sort of stabilized at their baseline body weight again, their risk factors then would also, for the most part, look a lot like they were at baseline as well.
Well, and I would also predict that their new set point would be, 5, 6, 7, maybe 2-3% heavier than the original one, because even that small quarter of muscle loss, overall muscle loss, reduces their metabolic resting point or baseline. So that if they just went back and ate the calories that they ate every day in order to get to the weight that they were then, they're going to actually reach a heavier weight because there's going to be less metabolic machinery burning those calories and more fat storage. But I want to say something else why I think this is such an important study. Because in real world, most women undergo this rapid weight loss, rapid weight gain, a couple, 3 times a year. You're getting ready for your sister-in-law's wedding. So you lose 25 pounds through some ridiculous diet so that you can fit into this outfit. And then 3 months later, you're back up where you were again. Then your son's graduating, so you want to lose weight and you do it again. And I would say that this is really a shot in the air. I mean, this is like, hey, you know what? If you're doing this 2 or 3 times a year, then you are, regardless of whether they stabilize 2 years out, you never get 2 years out, because you're riding this roller coaster of increased metabolic risk for, you know, three quarters of the year because of this yo-yo dieting that women subscribe to in this society today.
That's a great point. And I'd also mention another paper that came from the same data set supports exactly what you're saying. This, in our other analysis, we found that the women, you know, with the body composition changes during this regain phase, they accrued more fat than what they lost proportionally. So what they've done is you could almost say a substituting effect of losing muscle and fat, but accruing more fat than muscle during this regain phase among the women who regain their weight, which again is why it's so important that maintenance is such a key thing that researchers really should be pursuing and studying more intensively.
Yeah, no, I applaud you for this work. This is really important. It's important for women to understand that period of time after a great deal of weight loss, for whatever that special event was, that you then go back to hell in a handbasket, amplifies your cardiovascular risk factors above where they were originally for some period of time. And chances are, at around the end of that period of time, you're probably going back on a diet again. And, you know, you're just riding a roller coaster of danger. And this is why it's so important for women to, work as hard as you can. And I don't say it takes heroic effort, because here you're talking about a people that are just doing some, what is considered to my audience, very leisurely cardiovascular training and, you know, watching what you eat to lose 5 pounds a month. Most women are not excited by 5 pounds a month because they see these commercials for Lipozine and all these other nonsense products out there that promise, you know, to lose 35 pounds in 60 days. And they become depressed when 60 days up, they're only 10 pounds in and they go, gee, you know, I only lost 10 pounds. This sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. And, you know, you got to take your eye, off of the horizon and start looking at the journey in front of you and get joy and reward from the journey in front of you. The weight loss will come and it will be sustainable when you take that approach. These rapid loss diets, and not only do they as we see here, potentially cause a boomerang effect that can raise cardiometabolic risk factors. But let me tell you what else they do. When you lose a large amount of body fat rapidly, all of those toxins that have been stored in your body fat for decades, these little time capsules of xenoestrogens and phthalates and all this other metabolic waste that we accumulate in our fat cells just comes rushing out into the blood way faster than the liver has any ability to get it out of the bloodstream. And you put yourself at greater risk for cancers and other neurological disorders. You must lose body fat slowly at the same rate that you gained it. You didn't become 75 pounds overweight in 3 months or 6 months or even a year. So why would you want to try to lose it in 3 months or 6 months? I mean, it's just insanity. Oh, anyway, I commend you for your work. This is good research, and it's a signal to women. You got to get off the roller coaster. It's not good for you. I don't care if you do look good at intermittent times throughout the year in photographs for special events. It's not healthy for you. Would you like to summarize what you hope people take away from this research, Dr. Beavers?
Absolutely, and. The key finding here is that losing weight is very important, and if women who are overweight and obese, we feel it is a healthy thing for them to do, but we also think that as much, if not more, energy should be put into maintaining those weight losses. And then also for researchers, we need to develop and improve ways to maintain the losses following weight loss.
Excellent point. Listen, Dr. Beavers, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this very, very important topic.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back. I'll wrap up the show. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. I feel like busting loose. Just bust the mold. Come on. I feel like busting
loose. Just bust the mold. Come on. Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Tomorrow's Thursday. I think we're going to have a episode of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. We absolutely will be doing our Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa, and I'm sure that Adele will bring some amazing topics to talk about, as he always does. I hope that the women in the audience got something good out of this information today. Obviously, breast cancer and menopause, premenopausal weight gains are something that men don't have to worry about. Although some men do get breast cancer. So there you go. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And we've got more good shows planned for you during the week. And have a great day. See you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.